Our scripture reading this morning is taken from Genesis chapter 4. Genesis chapter 4, we'll read the first 16 verses together. And with God's help, we want to look at verse 6 and 7 for our text, but also in conjunction with Lord's Day 40, we can find that in the middle of the page of our Psalter, in the back of our Psalter, page 39. Genesis chapter 4. Let us now hear God's word as it comes to us. And Adam knew Eve his wife, and she conceived and bare Cain, and said, I have gotten a man from the Lord. And she again bare his brother Abel. And Abel was a keeper of sheep, but Cain was a tiller of the ground. And in process of time, it came to pass that Cain brought of the fruit of the ground an offering unto the Lord. And Abel, he also brought of the firstlings of his flock and of the fat thereof. And the Lord had respect unto Abel and to his offering. But unto Cain and to his offering he had not respect. And Cain was very wroth, and his countenance fell. And the Lord said unto Cain, Why art thou wroth, and why is thy countenance fallen? If thou doest well, shalt thou not be accepted? And if thou doest not well, sin lieth at the door, and unto thee shall be his desire, and thou shalt rule over him. And Cain talked with Abel his brother. And it came to pass when they were in the field that Cain rose up against Abel his brother and slew him. And the Lord said unto Cain, Where is Abel thy brother? And he said, I know not. Am I my brother's keeper? And he said, What hast thou done? The voice of thy brother's blood crieth unto me from the ground. And now art thou cursed from the earth, which hath opened her mouth to receive thy brother's blood from thy hand. When thou tillest the ground, it shall not henceforth yield unto thee her strength. A fugitive and a vagabond shalt thou be in the earth. And Cain said unto the Lord, My punishment is greater than I can bear. Behold, thou hast driven me out this day from the face of the earth, and from thy face shall I be hid, and I shall be a fugitive and a vagabond in the earth. And it shall come to pass that every one that findeth me shall slay me. And the Lord said unto him, Therefore whosoever slayeth Cain, vengeance shall be taken on him sevenfold. And the Lord set a mark upon Cain, lest any finding him should kill him. And Cain went out from the presence of the Lord and dwelt in the land of Nod on the east of Eden. Thus far the reading of God's sacred scripture. May he bless it to our souls. At the back of our Psalter, in page 39, in the middle of the page, we have our Lord's Day 40, with three questions and answers. Question 105 says, What does God require in this sixth commandment? Answer, that I, neither in thought, nor in word, or gesture, much less in deed, dishonor, hate, wound, or kill my neighbor, whether by myself or by another, but lay aside all desire of revenge. Moreover, that I harm not myself, nor willfully expose myself to any danger. Therefore also the magistrate is armed with a sword to prevent murder. Question 105. But this commandment seems to speak only of murder. Answer, in forbidding murder, God teaches us that he abhors the root of murder, as envy, hatred, anger, and desire of revenge, and that he accounts all these as murder. Question 107. But is it enough that we do not kill our neighbor in any such way? Answer, no. For when God forbids envy, hatred, and anger, he commands us to love our neighbor as ourselves, to show patience, peace, meekness, mercy, and all kindness toward him, prevent his hurt as much as in us lies, and do good even to our enemies. Thus far the reading of the Catechism as well. Dear congregation, we move on with our study of our Catechism, particularly the Ten Commandments. And the last time we considered the threefold aspect of Lord's Day 39. We looked first of all the authority, the divine authority that lies within a covenant family government of one man and one woman with their children till death do them part, with a man as the head of the home. And the command is for wives to submit themselves to their own husbands. We also looked at respect for civil government, and there again there's a divine authority that we were born into. We live under authority, even in a civil government. And then we also looked at covenantal church government, and there again is authority. And let's just pause a minute. We don't like that word, do we? We really don't like that word, obey. Oh, and it's easy to tell children to obey your parents. But for us adults, when it comes to us, truly it comes from God, but when it comes to us through men, through a husband, through the civil government, or the elders of a church, we don't like authority. But all three of these aspects of Lord's Day 39 demand of us, not a suggestion. They're not the 10 suggestions. It demands of us obedience to all authority, but also to bear patiently with their weakness. If we look at ourselves that have authority, we find weakness there. And when we look at others that God has set in authority over us, you don't have to look very far to find a chink in their armor, do we? Children don't have to look far to their parents. We don't have to look far to the police officers. We certainly don't have to look far to the men that God has placed over us in authority in the church. The faults are innumerable. We're dripping with faults and sin, and yet God says to obey them, inasmuch as they're biblical. But all of this flows out of the heart. In thinking about this authority, we could look at someone and they might say, well, I live in submission. I do everything that's demanded of me. Sounds like the rich young ruler. And you realize, if you do everything that's commanded of you, to obey and to submit to all authority, it's not enough. Because people can do that with resentment in the heart. We talked about that little boy sitting in the corner. I'm sitting down on the outside, but I'm standing up on the inside. Authority. Love to God. It's not just a list of do's and don'ts. It's a renewed heart. There is no way we can even begin to embrace this commandment if it's not from the heart. And so that flows into honoring God's image as well. And that leads us to our theme, honoring Jehovah's sacred image. In three places. First of all, revealed in man. Secondly, revealed in the heart. And third, revealed in our walk. verse 6 of our text. And the Lord said unto Cain, Why art thou wroth? And why is thy countenance fallen? If thou doest well, shalt thou not be accepted? And if thou doest not well, sin lieth at the door. Honoring Jehovah's sacred image revealed in man. God is jealous of his name, is he not? We just heard that read, Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain, for he will not hold him guiltless that taketh his name in vain. God has a holy jealousy over his name and over his honor, but also he has a jealousy over his image. That's man. Man is not just a product of evolution. Man has been formed out of the dust of the earth on the sixth day. God breathed into man the breath of life. And the fall of Adam resulted in the Lord responding to it, and no, God does not respond to the fall with a certain action. It was all predestined, but we find recorded in scriptures two ways that God responded to Adam's fall, because he honors his own image. It's revealed to us. First of all, he sent the second Adam already in Genesis 3, the seed of the woman. And he fully accomplished, child of God, this second Adam, our Lord Jesus Christ, he fully accomplished your salvation. He didn't go halfway with it. We don't go halfway to God and God meets us the other half. No, Christ says it is finished. He has fully accomplished. But secondly, he renews the heart of his elect people. If we know anything about raising children, you find out, doesn't take too long. They might say the first word, mommy or daddy, but the second word is no. A little child will look a grown adult in the face and say, no, mommy, I will not do it. And they will even throw a temper tantrum. You know what I'm talking about. And we're the same way. We need to have our heart renewed, and yet Christ made a perfect sacrifice, but our renewed heart is never perfect. It's always in the process of sanctification. And so along with that, we hear this command, thou shalt not kill. In other words, thou shalt do no murder. Thou shalt not have premeditated murder. Thou shalt not assassinate. And to be sure, this is not fuel for the peace activist that would not protect their family. We talked about that before, but the heads of households have a God-given responsibility to protect their family, to use whatever means is available to them to stop someone else from hurting their wives or children. But we're not murderers, are we? When we think of all of the Ten Commandments, this is one commandment we haven't broken. We don't have blood on our hands. There's no way the authorities can accuse us and find us guilty of murder, really. But then how do we not fulfill this commandment? And our instructor says that I, neither in thoughts, words, gestures, or deed, dishonor, hate, wound, or kill my neighbor. Right away, he starts with the heart. He starts with thoughts. That neither in thoughts or words or deeds. I wonder which is sharper. A sharp two-edged sword that can kill the body, or a sharp tongue that can slice to pieces someone that someone doesn't like. The Lord Jesus responds to this. Matthew 5:21. You have heard said of old time, thou shalt not kill, and whosoever shall kill shall be in danger of the judgment. But I say unto you that whosoever is angry with his brother without a cause shall be in danger of the judgment. Whosoever shall say to his brother, Raca, shall be in danger of the council. Whosoever shall say, thou fool, shall be in danger of hellfire. The Lord Jesus says, if you're angry with your brother without a cause. Later on, Paul says, be ye angry and sin not. And there is a place, beloved, for righteous anger. But have you ever had it, really? An example of righteous anger is ISIS. It's Al-Qaeda. If you speak against their false prophet, they will rise up in righteous indignation, and they will do anything and everything to kill you. And we realize, really, that is not righteous anger. If we're honest, there would be very few times we have ever had righteous anger. Oh, we might think so. But does God justify what we do? And no, I'm not saying we should never be angry. But we are to have control of our hearts. And our instructor says that the life of man is so extremely important to God. He's also appointed a civil magistrate based upon not just Old Testament, but New Testament as well. But we find in Genesis chapter 9, the Lord says, whoso sheddeth man's blood, by man shall his blood be shed, for in the image of God created he him. Which tells us, when children rebel against their parents, it's not so much against their parents, it's rebellion against God. When we rebel against lawful authority because we don't like it, we're rebelling against God. When we kill someone, we are killing God in effigy. When we hate someone, when there is vileness in our heart, like with Cain, we'll get more of that later. It's not so much against a person, it's against God. And rebellion is as a sin of witchcraft. Romans 13 speaks about the civil magistrate. He is a minister of God to thee for good. But if thou do that which is evil, be afraid, because he beareth not the sword in vain. Would to God that all 50 states would take this seriously. No, not that we have glee over capital punishment, but whoso sheddeth man's blood, by man shall his blood be shed. We live in a culture of death. We have a multitude, untold millions of unborn babies being slaughtered in the womb. And this nation gets all upset. The world gets all upset because Cecil the Lion was killed. There's more concern for a beast of the field than the life of unborn babies. That ought not so to be. In fact, in Deuteronomy chapter 19, about capital punishment, the Lord says, thine eyes shall not pity him. We ought to be grieved that someone has to be put to death. But the cruel and unusual punishment is not capital punishment. It is the wickedness of man's hands and heart that takes the life of an innocent person. That's the cruel and unusual punishment. But also says that I hurt not myself. Our bodies are the temple of the Holy Ghost. We ought to take care of our bodies. I don't need a list to tell you, but just think of some of the world sports that put the body of a young man or a young woman in grave danger of bodily injury. We ought not to be doing that. We ought to consider what we're doing before we hurt our bodies. But secondly, this is revealed in the heart. But the commandment seems only to speak of murder. In the answer 106, in forbidding murder, God teaches us that he abhors. That jumped off the page at me. That God abhors, he hates the causes thereof, such as envy, hatred, anger, desire, revenge. He accounts all of these as murder. Later on, next Sabbath, we'll deal with the seventh commandment. The Lord Jesus says, if you look at a woman to lust after her, you've committed adultery already with her in your heart. As we started out, the commandment of God is spiritual. It's not just that I've done all of these things. It's a matter of the heart. We cannot claim to be a Christian if murder is lurking in our heart. And so we think about Sinai. I love what our forefathers gave us to read the law of God every Sabbath morning and the response to it. God gave Israel through Moses his covenant, his covenantal laws on two tables of stone. But in Jeremiah 31:31, God comes very near to us. He comes very near to us every Sabbath morning. Behold, the days come, saith Jehovah, that I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah. I will put my law into their inward parts and write it in their hearts. And I will be their God, and they shall be my people. God is the one that does heart work. And that's some of our grief, isn't it? When we raise covenant children. And we do our very best. Oh yes, there's mistakes and errors and sins, but we do our best to convey to them biblical truth, and we're grieved when they go their own way. And we realize we can only access the mind. God is the one that accesses the heart. And this is the heart of biblical Christianity. That this work is God's work. It's something we ought to pray about. When we hear a sermon, we ought not first to find out where the pastor went wrong, but we ought to pray over it and ask the Lord to apply that sermon to my heart. Ask him daily. That's what we sung with Psalm 9, Psalter 95. Create in me a new heart, O God. David cried out as a child of God, a covenant child after his sin, create in me a new heart. David realized that he could not repent of that sin fully unless the Lord did it. This here was the root of Cain's sin. The Lord said unto Cain, why art thou wroth? It means to be hot, furious, kindled, incensed with heat. To heat oneself up in vexation. Why was Cain incensed with anger against Abel, his brother? It wasn't against Abel. It's what we talk about at the beginning. Cain was angry with God. He was not accepted. His offering was bloodless. He offered some fruit of the ground. God rejected him. And there's one thing Cain could do. He could reach out and kill the image of Almighty God. I will get you. He had the power to do it. And yet the Lord saw it. And we see people. We see people that are so incensed with anger and furious and vexed inside. It's written all over their face. Their faces are contorted because it's coming from the heart. Why is thy countenance fallen? The Lord asked Cain. Cain was an ordinary covenant child. But he was not converted. And so when it came between loving God and loving himself, he chose himself. And he lashed out against God. The Lord says, if thou doest well, shalt thou not be accepted? And if thou doest not well, sin lieth at the door. And that, beloved, is where our Lord's Day brings us. If we cannot, if we will not control our emotions and our anger, sin lies at the door. The sin of murder. Our instructor says the Lord hates, he abhors all the causes of murder. Basically, no one kills someone without some forethought, whether it's 5 seconds, 5 hours, 5 days, 5 years, whatever. It comes from the heart into the mind and then the actions. Our response then to this command is to imitate the second Adam. And that leads us to our third thought revealed in our walk. Not only in our heart, but our walk. The Apostle John reminds us of what this Lord's Day is about long before the Lord's Day was written. In 1 John 2, verse 9, he says, he that saith he is in the light and hateth his brother is in darkness. In fact, later on he says, he that hateth his brother is a murderer. And you know that no murderer has eternal life abiding in him. And we see again that the immensity of the law is spiritual. The law embraces us. And David says, oh, how love I thy law, it is my meditation all the day. He had blood in his hands. And yet David loved the law of God, and we are to love God's law, even when it crosses our pathway and says, thou shalt not. Because God's law is a schoolmaster. It is a fence around the sheepfold. It is a law that embraces our family. And we looked at Lord's Day 39 about submitting to authority. We are to honor father and mother, and now we are to honor our neighbor by not hating him. We are to prevent his hurt as much as possible. We ought to be a people that speak out against abortion. We're to speak out against the evils of Planned Parenthood. Let us pray that this part of God's providence in exposing Planned Parenthood for what they're doing, it ought to rile up people with a righteous indignation. People in authority and government to defund this thing. It ought to open the eyes of our nation to see what we're doing. It ought to open the eyes of the one in the White House that had the audacity to say, God bless Planned Parenthood. he might as well have said, God bless Adolf Hitler. We have a true Holocaust, 60 plus million aborted babies. It is to be revealed on our walk, and our duty is, we are to live what we confess. We make confession of faith. It's not just to warm the pew, is it? We have misery, deliverance, and gratitude. We are to serve in Christ's church. And it's not just church institute. It churches in the home. And everything we do is spiritual. Our personal life, our family life, our interaction with church people is to be spiritual. And we are to walk the talk. If we claim to be Christian, then people ought not to see in our faces what was on Cain's face. That he was heated to vexation and anger. Our talk. James speaks about the tongue, chapter 4. The tongue is a fire, a world of iniquity. So is the tongue among our members. It defileth the whole body. We can look at that in three different ways. It defiles the body of the person that is misusing his tongue or her tongue. It defiles the home in which this person lives. It certainly brings disharmony and disunity within the church. It defiles everything. It goes on to say, and setteth on fire the course of nature, and it is set on fire of hell. I know there's some people that really like to tell you what they think. That is horrendous. When you expose to others what's in your own heart by giving them a piece of your mind, we ought to pray that the Lord would break our proud, adamant hearts. As we close with this, we have to realize then that biblical Christianity is not outward church membership. Anybody, basically, anybody can make a confession of faith. Anybody can go through confession of faith class. Anybody can stand in front of their church and make a confession of faith. But to be a real child of God, it is the work of the Holy Ghost, giving us a renewed heart. It is a matter of the heart. That's what the Lord Jesus speaks about. Luke chapter 6. A good man out of the good treasure of his heart bringeth forth that which is good. And an evil man out of the evil treasure of his heart bringeth forth that which is evil. For out of the abundance of the heart the mouth speaketh. We have to ask ourselves, what are we revealing to people when we speak? It's like an open doorway to our hearts. This dark recess where basically only the Holy Ghost knows what's in there. But we are exposing ourselves. We're letting people know whether we're God-filled, Spirit-filled people, or whether we have a hard, adamant heart. And then Jesus asked, why call ye me Lord, Lord, when ye do not the things that I say? Why call ye me Lord, Lord, if ye do not the things that I say? Thou shalt not kill. The command says, thou shalt do no murder. And we realize that, as with adultery, it starts with a look. Murder starts with a look, maybe. Or it starts with envy or hatred and it builds. Cain could not leave it lay. It was like an abscessed tooth with Cain. It festered in his heart until he rose up and killed his brother. Our covenantal response this morning hour. Father, create in me a clean heart and renew a right spirit within me. We are to honor Jehovah's name by not taking his name in vain. We are to honor his image by honoring people, men and women and children that are created in the very image of God. We are to shine forth as lights in the darkness. Spiritual light. May that be so with us as we treat fellow church members of New Hope Reformed Fellowship. Amen. Our Father and our God which art in heaven, we give thee thanks for thy word of truth. We thank thee, Lord, that we might have heard thy word coming to us. And all we do pray that thou wilt seal thy word to our hearts. O Father in heaven, break us. Break our pride. Break our envy. Break anything and everything within us that would dishonor thy name by coming out of our mouths or with our actions. May we be a people truly that love the Lord our God with all of our hearts and our neighbor as ourself. Hear us, we pray, for we do ask this in Jesus' precious name. Amen.